Today, in the next 3 weeks, we're going to be taking a break from the expository study of the book of Galatians. I say that we need to end this year, 2020, with good news. Amen? Amen. Not that Galatians wasn't good news, but let's end it with good news. We're going to be focusing on the season of Advent for today and for the next 3 weeks in a short series that I have titled Advent and the Heart. So with that in mind, let's go to our scripture reading today, which we will find in the book of Romans. And I am going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now, if you're like me, my Bible kind of automatically opens to Galatians, so I had to kind of move the pages here a little bit. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and kind of for a change of pace, and getting into the Advent season here today. So, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read. I will have the words up here on the screen. From the Apostle Paul, he writes this: Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray over this reading from your scriptures from the book of Romans. And Father, I pray that the words that I'm about to speak will help us understand the words that are written here in your scriptures. But may your scriptures change us and transform us from the inside out. And today, make us a little more Christ-like. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. According to Christian tradition, the four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day is called the season of Advent. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you know a lot of churches celebrate the different seasons within the church calendar. We are now in the season of Advent. And Webster defines the word Advent as a coming into being or use. So, what is coming into being? I think we all know that. As Christians, we eagerly anticipate celebrating the birth of the Savior to this world, the Messiah. And his name is Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Lord of all lords, and the King of all kings. The Savior does something to the human heart. And each week we will be looking at what that something is. And I have titled today's message, A Mature Hope. Not a mature hope, a mature heart. How's that sound? A mature heart. And each Sunday in Advent is given a word to identify that Sunday. And today's word is hope. Did you know that the word hope is used 137 times in the New American Standard Bible? In 21st century America, we use the word hope almost exclusively as a verb, an action word. We will say things like, I hope this happens, or I hope she has a safe trip. It's always used as a verb mostly. But when the Bible uses the word hope, in most cases, and as we see it here in Romans chapter 5, it is a noun. So what is hope, the noun? Well, let's look at Webster and let's look at a few definitions that they have. First, Webster defines the verb hope as to desire with expectation of obtainment. Then they define the noun hope as someone or something on which hopes are centered. Well, what I did, those top two were Webster's, and this third one is kind of my definition. I kind of combined those two, and I come up with this. Hope is the object that I expect to obtain. For the Christian, hope would be knowing that all of our sins have been forgiven. Hope would be the assurance of eternal life. Hope would be knowing that one day we are going to meet and spend eternity with our Savior who saved us and the one who gave us this hope. And biblically speaking, I expect to obtain these things. Listen, this is important. Not because I earned them or because I deserve them. I expect to obtain them because I have been promised them. The Word of God promises to the believer that we will have these things. Here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that there are steps that make hope in our Christian walk come to maturity. Yes, a new believer in Christ, they would have hope, but that hope gets deep rooted in our hearts as we mature in this Christian walk that we take. So how does hope help mature our hearts in our Christian walk? Well, that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. But before I continue, I want to add that the hope that I'm going to be speaking about is only for believers. This kind of hope is only going to be found in the Christian. As cold as this statement might sound, the unbeliever has no hope. At least not biblical hope, anyways. Perhaps they might have a hope that their friends are going to have safe trips, or they hope that there's going to be a COVID vaccine come out shortly. Sure, they can have that kind of hope, but they don't have biblical hope. They're not going to have the kind of hope that I'm going to talk about here this morning. So let's go through these five steps. We have some fill in the blanks in our bulletin here this morning. And let's talk about these steps that allow hope to mature our hearts here this morning. So let's start off by reading again Romans 5 verses 1 and 2. And it says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, and we always look for the words that I have bold and underlined, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. So our first fill in the blank in our bulletin would say this, the believer will be justified by faith and faith alone. We have been talking about justification in our study in the book of Galatians and how we are justified by faith and faith alone. There is nothing that we can contribute to that salvation. So we know this, believers are justified. There's that word again. And that means that we are made right in the sight of God by our faith. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. Our sin has separated us from God. As soon as we have sinned, we're now separated from God. But now a person is justified, and that relationship with the Father has been restored and made right again. Again, so hope is only going to be for the believer. We have to have this as our first step. If you're not justified, you're not going to have any of the steps that come after this, at least not in a Christian perspective. So let's go on to the next step. Oh, there's our fill in the blank. The believer will be justified by faith and faith alone. So let's read verse 3a. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations. Our fill in the blank would say this. The believer will experience trials and tribulation in life. Trials and tribulation in the life of a believer is not a perhaps or a maybe. Trials and tribulations in our lives is a certainty. They will happen. If you are a human being walking on this planet, you will have trials and tribulations in your life. But we're only going to look at them from the perspective of the Christian. So I want to go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, and God's word says this: "For it was fitting for him," meaning Christ, "for whom all things, and through whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the originator of their salvation through sufferings." There's another word: trials, tribulation, suffering. They're all synonymous. God wants to perfect us towards hope, so he allows in our lives some trials and tribulations and sufferings. That doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? But it is the way it goes. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, because Peter says the exact same thing. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Well, we know this, that every true believer on their journey to a mature heart will, one, be justified by faith, and they will experience trials and tribulations in life. This is a tough statement for me to say, but I'm going to say it. When we suffer in our trials, we are blessed and we should rejoice. Not only should we rejoice, but we should praise God while we are going through those trials and tribulations. Now, I will admit, my hand goes up first. It's an easy thing for me to say that, because I'm only telling you what the Word of God says. But it is an extremely difficult thing to live, isn't it? Because we all go through trials and tribulations. We have loved ones who pass away, who get sick. We have financial issues. We have car troubles. We have this and that going on in our life. And every day, we're going to have and experience something new in our life that's just not going to go our way. But the Word of God says this, that we should rejoice in those things. And that's a tough thing to do. So if you say, "Mike, I struggle with that," I agree. I do too, but it's just something that we need to come to grips with, that it's going to happen in our lives. It says this, that every true believer will experience trials and tribulation in their life. The next one, Romans 5:3. Let's move on. "And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations," there we go, "knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance." Our next fill in the blank would say this: the believer will persevere through those trials. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. I can't tell you how important this verse is going to be, because I'm going to bring up James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, that James says it about as well as it can be said here in the New Testament. James tells the believers this: "Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance," or some Bibles will use the word perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. "And let perseverance," endurance, "have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James is telling us this: there is a reason that we have trials and tribulations in our lives. It's because it's going to test us, test our faith. Are we really possessors of the faith, or are we just professors of the faith? Is it truly in our heart, or are we just giving lip service? When God allows trials and tribulation and suffering, it does this. It will separate the wheat from the tares, and it will separate the sheep from the what? The goats. Separate the sheep from the goats. The possessor of real faith will stand strong through the storm like a house that's built on a rock. But the professor of a false faith crashes in the storm like a house built on sinking sand. There's a parable that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. And Jesus tells us that many are going to fall away. And why do they fall away? And he gives these four reasons. He says this: many will fall away because the worries of life, they get to them. The deceitfulness of wealth, that gets to them. Trouble, now, hey, there's a big generic word there. That could encompass a lot of different things. Or persecution because of the world. So what Jesus is saying is, when these things happen to a person, their faith is being tested. Are they going to stand strong? Is their house truly built on the rock, or is it built on sinking sand? In John chapter 6, verse 66, I don't have that verse up here, but it tells us that many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Why? Well, if we would go back and look at the context of that, the teaching that Jesus was given was getting pretty tough back then in John chapter 6. And these people, they just didn't want to follow Jesus anymore because the teaching just got a little too tough for them. But those followers had a false faith. So now we have three steps. Every true believer on their journey to have a mature heart will, one, be justified by faith. And remember, that's a necessary credential. What's going to happen next? They will experience trials and tribulation in life. Let me just ask real quick, have you experienced any trials or tribulations in your life? And as the whole congregation said, amen. Amen. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And number three, but we will persevere through those trials. Let's move on to the next step. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. We've talked about that. And perseverance, proven character. Our next fill in the blank would say this, pretty straightforward. The believer will demonstrate proven character as a result of that faith. Well, what is proven character? What is character? Well, what does Webster tell us? Character, according to Webster, is moral excellence and firmness. There's two examples in the Bible I'd like to point out. One is from Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And I got this from the NIV translation Bible. It says this: now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. What was their noble character? If you would go back and read that text from Acts chapter 17, Paul started out in Thessalonica, and they just about near killed him in Thessalonica. So the next town he went to was Berea. And he told them the same thing he told the people in Thessalonica. But these people were of more noble character. They're going to check this guy out first. So they had moral excellence and firmness, whereas those in Thessalonica did not. But here's another verse from Philippians. I thought this was really good here too. Philippians 2, 19 through 22. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will be genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven character. There's those exact words again. That he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. A person with proven character, there's many different attributes of a person with proven character, but one that I wanted to point out from these verses here is this. That person with proven character is not self-serving. They delight in serving other people. Somebody else always comes first in their life before them. They exhibit moral excellence and are firm, and they're consistent in their Christ-like behavior. So let's go through the four of the steps. Every true believer on their journey to have a mature heart, and that's what we want, it will, one, be justified by faith. Number two, they're going to experience trials and tribulations in their life. Number three, they will persevere through those trials. And number four, according to the Apostle Paul, will demonstrate character as a result of that faith. Which leads us to our fifth and final verse, which says this, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. There's that word, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Here's where we come to the end of this journey here now. The mature believer will have hope, and the word tells us is that hope will not disappoint us. Why? Because, getting back to the verse, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we're not disappointed by where we end up in this Christian walk. We're not disappointed in our trials and tribulations. We're not disappointed in our perseverance. We're not disappointed in our proven character, because we're never disappointed in the hope that we have arrived at. This season of Christmas says it brings us hope. It's the first Sunday in Advent. We have the hope candle lit over here. But this season promises us hope. Hope of a Savior. Because what does this Savior promise us? From Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is the angel speaking to Joseph about his betrothed wife who is pregnant with the child of the Holy Spirit. The angel tells Joseph this: she will give birth to a son, she being Mary, the son being Jesus, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The best hope that anybody could have is the hope that we have been saved from our sins. Isn't that good news? That is great news. We have been saved from our sins through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So let's look at these five words that we've talked about here today. So what does the mature Christian heart look like? It's one that has been justified, but that justification leads us to tribulation. That tribulation will lead us to perseverance. That perseverance will lead us to proven character, and proven character will lead us to hope. The mature Christian heart has hope. Hope, the Webster definition, the object that I expect to obtain, not because I earned it and not because I deserve it, because the Bible has promised me that hope. And it also tells us that this hope that we've been promised will never, ever, ever disappoint us. The first Sunday in Advent, hope. Let's go to God with a word of prayer.